U2G Mobile.
Roger. You're not making the repeater in 0TR. No copy.
Now, Tom, W2T.
Full quiet and resting.
It was where I was parked in front of Bojangles a minute ago. When you threw your call out there, I was just going through the drive-thru to pick up my breakfast.
I didn't know Bojangles served breakfast, but I guess they all do nowadays. Well, we're just headed to a doctor's appointment for my foot.
Well, I gotta take some stuff to the UPS store that's gotta be shipped back. Item I ordered, I got steered wrong on the item. It won't work for what I need it for, so I ordered the proper item, and I gotta send this one back to Amazon. So I'll take it over here to the UPS store, and they'll take care of sending it back for me. But, yeah, Bojangles always got chicken biscuits and everything, and that's what I'm having this morning, so I decided to pull in there and go through the drive-thru instead of go inside. And it's strange about I've forgotten about all the power lines that are right at the corner of their parking lot that adjoins to the parking lot that's just up about 20 feet higher. That's for the next store that's over to their left as I'm facing them. So, anyway, it is what it is. And also, is that there in Greenville? You got to go to the doctor?
I'm going to Anderson. Greenville's only got one podiatrist in the whole system, in the Prisma Health System. And so, my doctor at the VA suggested Anderson VA. They have a podiatrist there. Never been there before.
I've carried a client to the Anderson VA one time years ago when I was driving for the hospital over here system and in their transportation department. I picked up a client in Gaffney and took him all the way down to the Anderson VA for a doctor's appointment.
Yes, at 53 minutes, so not too bad, Rusty. Roadrunner driver's training. I better get some distance between that. it's an older lady that's driving, too. Or one that has goggles for glasses. So, yeah, we'll separate that a little bit here. Well, it's a gloomy old morning, but it's supposed to be clearing the rest of the day, and then the temperature dropping.
Temperature drops, and it doesn't get a whole lot colder. Things will be, and it doesn't stay rainy, then things won't be too bad.
Is there any particulars about getting to that facility that you can relate to me, or probably don't remember that long ago? We're just going down to 85 and hit that.
Is it? It was a one-time trip down there for me to take that client down, and since I had to go that far and I had to go back, they told me to wait on the client, and it was like a 30 or 45 minute wait, all I did was sit in my bus out in front of the building, and I have no clue as to where it is down there. That's been at least 8 years ago. Yeah, it's been at least 8 years ago since I made that trip down there.
Well, I thought maybe Jerry'd be on here this morning. Bernice wanted to go to Sam's while we was down there. And that's about it for today. Tomorrow we'll get our second COVID shot and get that at 3:30, so I hope there isn't a line. But the weather's supposed to be real nice tomorrow. I see the Sphinx station over here at Wade Hampton, and 101 is 249.9. Thank you, Mr. Biden.
Either 247.9 or 249.9 about everywhere.
Got a full tank the other day. I don't even remember where we got it. Sam's or Costco's, I suppose. But it still says full, so this thing's got about a 500-mile range on it or so. I never did tempted by driving it that far. But at any rate, it's got plenty of push water in it. And, well, my neighbor's daughter, she went up into Indiana the other day, and she had a Toyota. It was the ones that are made, Yaris? Bernie says a Yaris, but I didn't think it was. But at any rate, one of the smaller ones. And there'd been a recall on the computer, and they hadn't done anything about it. And I guess it went into this crawl mode. That's what Dave called it, I think. And they had to reprogram the whole computer yesterday, and because Tim had taken the battery cable off, and that resets the computers. And then, let me go around this guy. And then the thing come up with a whole bunch of codes again. So he took it to the dealer this time, and they reprogrammed it. And so far, so good.
Yeah, I've heard the people that had that car have problems with it. I don't know what all, but several people I know that bought one of those, they bought it, kept it about 5 months, and then got rid of it. And it turned out to be more trouble than it was worth.
It's in your LTR. You know, that's really very rare for anything Toyota. Really, the foundation of Toyota's reliability lies in that Corolla. And, boy, they've updated it. It's a sharp-looking car now. And from what I read in the consumer's guides and that, that sucker lasts forever.
I'm not sure what I'm going to look for later this year, because I've got to look for, I got to replace this thing. And I've got to take it tomorrow and have brake job done on the front end, new brake pads and all. So anyway, that's going to be a nice little task.
I'd like to look at the brakes on this Avalon. I got 69,000 on it. Never had any brakes. Of course, we're not too hard on them. But I checked them last year, and they said they were fine. I noticed coming down the mountains, from up at, like coming from Hendersonville or Asheville. Asheville, I guess, on those big mountains. If you slowed down coming down the mountains and that, you'd hear that thump, 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 you know. And they said that was just the analog brakes. I still don't like it.
And there's Jerry, and you can get your answer. I'll let you get the answer. Jerry, I'll let you pick up with Tom. And I'm going to say good morning here, and I'm going to go back to eating my chicken biscuit here. W2T, and I'll be listening. Go ahead, Tom.
Okay. Enjoy, Rusty. Jerry, I got to go to the Anderson VA clinic there, and Bernice wanted to go to Sam's, and I was just wondering if you could enlighten me a little bit there.
Rusty, we'll see you later. Sam's is about a mile and a half from my house, and we're headed there sometime around lunchtime, a little bit before. It's, if you'll go to the VA clinic, that's one on 81, the probably the best way to go is just if you'll come down to where, I guess it's, trying to think of the name of the road now. I mean, I'm on Sam's is actually on Brown Road, but it's probably 3 miles or so from Highway 81 and the VA clinic. Maybe I'm trying to think exactly where it is now. But it's Sam's is a little bit. You know, Sam's is kind of close to the interstate if you look on the Google Maps. But there may be the best way may be to just to come in on. Brown or somewhere like that. I'm not sure where it'd be fast. It's probably 2 or 3 miles at least from the VA.
Yeah, it's not mandatory, but well, that's what we planned on. She had some things she wanted to pick up, and gotta get through this light. There we go. And I got the address in the GPS. But I'm just going down here on 14. I'm going to hit I-85 headed your way. You don't happen to know And I'm sure the GPS will tell me it's 30-30 something or other. I can't see it on the GPS up here. What'd you say? It don't show the address, but I put it in the other day, and that's where we're headed for. This is in Zero
Chunk. The exit would be exit 27. If you're coming from Greenville, you just you'll get off exit on exit 27 and then take a left, and if you stay on that road, the vehicle will be on your left. For it's, like I said, it's a number of miles, but it's kind of closer into town, but it'll be there unless it's a big facility. If it's one, if you and I are talking about the same one, it's fairly new. It's been there a few years, I think. But it'll be, take exit 27, take a left at the top of the exit, and just stay on that road, and it'll be on your left headed in towards Anderson.
Boy, couldn't get any better than that. Well, we just had a C-130 take off right over our head here. And those things are so big, they just look like they're stopped in midair, four-engine turboprop. My nephew used to fly those for the Air National Guard. Man, that guy looks like he'd fall out of the sky up there. But he ain't. He's really turning sharp. They come down here and do touch and goes now and then.
I got a friend of mine that was a 130 pilot. I hadn't heard from him in years. He was, I think he might have been the Air Guard or something, but he was, he flew for years, I think, but he enjoyed it. He said they were fun to fly because it's amazing how slow they'll fly and not crash, which is, I guess that's a good thing.
Really versatile planes. They've had so many roles. They actually replaced Puff the Magic Dragon over in Vietnam with the C-130. I'm trying to think of the name of that now. Not Scorpion. We got to see one up at the Whiteman. Was it Whiteman? No, Wright-Patterson Air Force Base up in Dayton, Ohio. And that thing had more firepower than you could ever imagine, and even had a 155-millimeter howitzer in the side of it, as well as pom-pom guns and, oh, you name it. It was just some kind of aircraft.
A-130 Spectre gunship, I think, is one you're talking about. He replaced the other ones. I guess it might have been the old C-47s with the meeting guns in the side, but that C-130 Spectre, that thing was has like a daggum, almost like a destroyer in the air.
Yes. Well, Steve flew those for 11 years. He was a major. And his wife talked him into getting out of it. He got called to the first Gulf War 3 months after he started flying for American Airlines. And that didn't make him very happy, but he got his job back when he come back. And he flew over there, and he sent me some pictures of those oil wells on fire on that. But I think after 11 years, he probably should have stayed the rest, but you never know. He flies a 787 now, and you don't get shot at in that. Well, boy, Jerry, we're just passing Michelin here. I sure appreciate the information on that down there. That'll help a lot. And I might get in touch with you down the line. A lot of traffic out here on I-85. I don't like to even come near I-85.
Okay, I was on the road then, and y'all be careful. This is kind of, it's not foggy, but it's really dreary here today, just like it is everywhere in the area, I guess. But, yeah, once you get to the VA, and then the VA from Sam, since it's, like I said, it's just hard for me. I don't usually go. I turn when I come in from Greenville. The road I live on, which is road Sam's is owned, is before, I'm pretty sure it's before you get to the VA. And you'll probably drive a lot further out on down. But if you look at GPS, there's probably a shortcut you can take to avoid some of the traffic. I think if the VA is closer to ANMED campus there on 81, it may be better just to go down to drive on that Reed Road and take a right there, and then you can take another right where it runs into Concord, and just it switches back to the left. Anyways, there are ways you can avoid the traffic in Laurel. You can the VA may be pretty close at downtown connector. If it's close to the connector there where the Ingalls is, you can just take a right on the connector there, and it'll take you almost to Sam's directly. You won't have to deal much with Clemson Boulevard traffic that way. Just take a look at it on the GPS when you get there, and you'll probably see what I'm talking about. I'll let you pay attention to the road and talk to you later. Is your DR in for DJC clear?
This is Daryl TR. Oh, I'm fine, Jerry. As soon as we get through Greenville here in this new connector or whatever you call it where they did this project, the traffic will lighten up. I don't think I've ever... We've never been into Anderson before, so I'm not the brightest one when it comes to knowing there's a wreck over there on the side of the road. I'm not the brightest person when it comes to knowing places to go around here. Had a friend of mine ask me or say something about Malden yesterday, and I thought, where's Malden at? And I got to thinking, well, yeah, I know where that's at, but it took a second. We're from Kansas. We're a little slow, Jerry.
Yeah. But, my daughter lives in, well, she actually lives in Greenville, but it's right at the Malden city limits, almost the little subdivision they're in. So I used to go into Malden a good bit. I know more around there a little bit, but you can get lost in Malden just like you can get lost anywhere. There's a lot of traffic on Lawrence Road. That thing is just packed all the time. And I hate getting out on that thing. When we were spending a little time over there with the kids, I'd go pick up some pizza, and I always had to drive down Lawrence Road to get into Malden, and had to drive back in and drive into the sun on one of those roads. That thing is just—that's just a madhouse down there. You'd think that the traffic wouldn't be bad in a place like that, but it was awful in the afternoon. And with the sun glaring in your eyes, it was terrible trying to get out in traffic. They didn't have that many traffic lights here either. Just like everywhere else in Greenville County, it's all growing. It's just gets more, more subdivisions being built all the time and creates more traffic. But Anderson's not too hard to get around. It's not really, I mean, the downtown, it just, there's not much to the downtown at all, but it's just a few blocks of downtown. Most of the growth is on the area that, towards where you'll be, towards that VA clinic over there. It's in this, just kind of towards the north, the north side of town, and always has been. But they're just bunches of subdivisions going up in there, and when they cleared for that downtown, the connector, which leads from, goes from 81 all the way to Clemson Boulevard, and it's only got one intersection with Kings Road, and I don't live too far from that intersection. But it's four lanes, and it's 45, and they'll sure get you if you go over 45 down that way. That's one of those things where if you build it, they will come. When they first built that thing, there wasn't much traffic on that. There's tons of traffic on certain times of the day. And of course, they don't obey the 45 speed limit until they put a state trooper out there or Anderson Sheriff's Department car. I see a clock in them, and they slow down a little bit. That's actually made it a little easier to get in and out of town for us as well. But we don't go that way. But there are a couple of roundabouts in town, which is something new for us. And people here, they've been here probably a year or so. They some of them still drive across them just like they don't exist. You have to, if you get through all of those here, you just better watch your step.
W2T Mobile again.
Recognizing Rusty. Yeah, well, there's a Gestapo. That's a highway patrol Bernice. Anyways, I don't see him, but he's out there. Yeah, it's kind of sad, and they can't keep up with the highways and that to evolve fast enough to accommodate the traffic. But we go, well, there's two highway patrolmen there, and another wreck, it looks like. What happened there? It looks like the guy's trailer come loose. Oh, that's not a good thing. But, yeah, we're getting on the west side of this stuff now, and I keep a long following distance. But heck, I'm running 70, 75 out here, and the people pass you like you're sitting on a rock. I got one right in my tail section right now, and I'm running 75 miles an hour in a 60.
Jerry, you better be careful out there in some of those places. Somebody else will get you. And I've had that happen to me too, Tom, going down that way. And that's why I try to stay off of Interstate 85 as much as possible because of that very reason. Now, I just thought I'd get back in here and say hello to everybody again. I'm almost over here at the UPS store, and I gotta take some stuff there, and then I gotta go next door to the Cartridge World and have a talk with the man I buy my ink from. Anyway, and just wanted to say hello again, and I'll catch up with all of you later. Y'all have a good one. N0TR in the group, W2T73s this time.
Listen, Rush, hope you have a good day. Yeah, it's pretty easy to get around here. We like it here. We live in the county. Actually, we're almost, like I said, we're real close to everything. We're close to hospitals and close to shopping if we need to go to the store, grocery store, Walmart, or whatever. So, it's quiet. We live in a quiet neighborhood. It's an older neighborhood, but it's quiet. So we enjoy it here. We've been in this house, I think it's 26 years this year. So I don't plan on, I'd like to find something smaller, but find something smaller means I wind up in some home HOA somewhere, and I just don't like the idea of that much. Plus, a lot of them are just as old. The stuff for sale now is more expensive, and it's just as old as the house we're in now, so we're not really getting the benefit of having newer construction.
You have a good day. Our house was made in 89, I think, when it was released, and it suits us just fine, and we're kind of out in the country, and can have a few chickens, and just do whatever I want, pretty much, and no HOAs, TUI on them. I don't have any room for HOAs. I've heard some of the things they pull. I don't think I get along very well in an HOA. A friend of mine was trying to get him an antenna up that lives in an HOA, and I just don't know what to recommend because I've never had that problem before. Kansas, but we didn't have no HOA, but I didn't have near the yard that I got now, and so we're very thankful for that. It's quiet out in the county, and we just don't have any problems at all out there so far, Jerry. So thank God for that.
Hams in the neighborhood other than me. I use an antenna indoors, which works pretty good. That's one of the reasons I had ventured in HF. The room I normally would use is elevated about 25, probably about 20 feet or so above the ground. So I'd have to get a pretty decent sized antenna up outside to beat it. Although I may try. I'm going to get one of those fiberglass masts, I think, later this spring. About a 15 or 20 kilometer telescoping mast. And I'm going to put an antenna up on it and just try it outside, see if it's any better than what I'm doing now. If it is, I got some electrical work that needs to be done. I'm gonna try to get a box outside, a seal box outside where I can run it through the right through the wall, and also get them to put me up, incorporate a box that this thing run my generator outside and connect it up inside. Just I've got 11. It's a Honda 2200 generator. It's quiet, but it still needs to be outside to run. So I'm gonna get it set up so I can run maybe keep my refrigerator running if that's the case, or maybe run a small space heater, under 1,000 watts or something like that. But that's really all I need it for. It only weighs 47 pounds, so I can move around where I want to. But I do plan on doing that. We got several things that need to be done in the house here and some work outside. We were going to this past year with all the stuff with the virus and all. We just didn't feel comfortable having anybody, coming in the house and doing that kind of work.
Well, there's somewhat of an electrical inertia when you have inductive loads, but normal refrigerator is going to be 7, 8, 9 amps along in that area. And then you'll get an inrush of, probably 2 to 3 times for a few milliseconds. So that ought to start it easy enough. We got the Generac and like it, but never did have anything but a portable generator before. I still have a portable generator, and it's sitting outside there. I can plug in and backfeed it, but I don't have to now. Well, what about using just a vertical antenna for your HF?
Well, that's really all I used when I worked HF back in the 80s was a vertical. And I may do that. Maybe go to those hustlers or maybe even one of those. They used to make Chriscraft used to make one I liked. It worked on 10, 15, 20 meters pretty well. It was vertical. It was about 20 feet tall or so. It had a tuner, at the base of the antenna, and it really worked well. It worked great on 15 and 20. But I never use any wire antennas. That's the reason I know so little about them. But I may do that. I may even use a wire antenna myself some point in time. But we don't have a county sewage or anything like that. So we have to have see everything when the drain field takes up a good bit of backyard. Have to be careful where I put it. Put the pole down in the ground. But like I said, I'm looking at some options for later on. I may do it, try it for a while since wouldn't have very much of coax running anyway. Just if I kept it up here, I just have to get a box up here so I could go through the wall with it and then run it to the base of the antenna. Maybe trench it as well to keep because the grass dead. I just can't put anything up on the rooftop. I don't feel comfortable doing that anymore, and I've also got a ridge vent right across the garage and the house, and I don't want to mess with that either.
I got a slow one here in the fast lane. I don't know why, but there ain't no place to get around him. But at any rate, I had a friend give me a vertical one time, but I never used it, so I give it away, and that's exactly what it was, a Chriscraft. Had all kinds of loops on it of sorts, but in an HOA, that'd be hard to spot something like that, Jerry. This is 0TR.
Have an HOA here. We had somebody in the neighborhood, one of these nosy types, who wanted to get something started. I said, well, you can't do it. I said, put up the street lights to people's houses, and they did that, and then they wanted everybody to pay for them. I said, no, thank you. I said, I don't have a street light out of my yard. I don't want one out there. If I wanted one, I'd buy it myself. And they were collecting dues, and I checked my attorney to make sure. He said, this neighborhood was started a deal where you could create a homeowner association. It had to be done within 25 years of the of the original deed, which is in 1964, so that's long past that. And he said everybody else joined it. He said, you still don't have to join it. So that kind of went by the wayside. But people would have lights, these nice LED type or wood sodium, whatever type lights they are. Time they want to have out at their house and want everybody else to pay for them. I said, nope, I'm not doing it. And donated a nickel to them.
Well, you're getting a little scratchy. We're going to get there really early. We're just 7 miles from getting there. From exit 27, Jerry. So my appointment's not to 1:30, so I guess we'll go to Sam's first. Still get off at that exit 27?
Let me think now. You know, it might be better if you're going to go to Sam's first. It's probably better to get off on exit 19. Just go to exit 19. Get off the exit 19 ramp there. And what you'll do is coming in from Greenville. You can go up to the top of it and go out to the right. Or either the best way is to go exit 19. I think it's probably 19B. Time for that side. You go under the bridge. You loop around, and then you'll be headed back across I-85 towards Anderson. And you'll need to kind of stay in the left-hand lane. It's probably about it's probably a couple of miles or so, and you'll go through 1, 2, 3. You go through 3 traffic lights, I think, or maybe 4. But the traffic light, you want to take a left at it's got a left hand turn lane there as well. You want to take a left at the traffic light. It's got a Zaxby's to the left of you, and I think the Chili's is on the right. And then you'll see there's a Walmart right beside of the Sam's. Turn left at that traffic light, go through the next traffic light, and then you'll see the Walmart on the right, and the Sam's is kind of off to the left of the Walmart. You just take the same going to Walmart entrance, and the Sam's will be on your left as you get through the entrance there.
Like I said, Jerry, we're from Kansas. We're a little slow. So that, I think what I'll do is I'll go ahead and go in and look this place over and see where it's at. And then I'll be off the highway where I can program this GPS and look for Sam's. And that might be a lot safer for us, Jerry, but I do appreciate your directions.
And we're going to... Well, at least I'll be sitting in the car if we go down there anytime soon, but my wife does the shopping in the stores. So we're probably going to do that somewhere around lunchtime. I don't think we'll be down there in time to be around when you're there. But anyway, you guys have a good day, and I'll probably talk to you a little bit later on, maybe on your way back home.
Okie doke, Jerry. Really appreciate it. We had a nice ride down here, and the traffic has let up quite a lot. Got a bobcat in front of me with he's pulling a van behind him for some reason. I don't know why, but thought better we get around that. We did. But have a great day, Jerry, and I'll talk to you later in 4DJC. This is NZOTR 73, Jerry.